U.S. News and World Report is out with its annual list of America's best colleges and universities, and once again, UNC ranks among the very best in the nation. UNC ranked 29th overall, 5th among public universities for the 22nd straight year, and Carolina also ranked as the top value public university for the 18th straight year. Duke is the top North Carolina university at number 10. Princeton is this year's number 1. UNC is heading into the new school year with several new deans among its leadership, including Raul Rice, the new dean of the Hussman School of Journalism and Media, a school that's facing concerns about diversity and inclusion following last year's controversy surrounding Nicole Hannah-Jones. I spoke with Dean Rice last week about his first couple months on the job, which have been focused on hosting listening sessions with faculty and staff. Now he says he's turning to the students.
We are paying a lot of attention, obviously, to diversity, equity, and inclusion issues. We have a whole plan that we are discussing with the faculty and the staff over the last 2 months. I see this more than anything else as a great opportunity for us to confirm and do some of the things we are doing so well in the past, but also to do more in the area of DEI especially. So we have devised and we are in the process of putting together a plan of action, and I'm going to take the plan of action to the students now that we've had this conversation with the staff and the faculty. So I'm planning to assemble a group of students, about 20 students, who I'm calling the Dean's Student Advisory Council. These will be student representatives in a very inclusive way of different parts of the school, and having conversations about, you know, what their needs are and what they need to be successful here. We are trying to create a sense of belonging in the school. We are trying to create a welcoming environment where everybody feels like their ideas and who they are, they can express themselves fully, and who they are is respected, more than respected. It's taken into account as we build the next chapter for the school. But as I said, it's a great opportunity for us to do that, to build the next chapter of the school and to infuse everything with diversity, equity, and inclusion.
That's Dean Raul Rice there. You can listen to the full conversation and read a transcript on our website, chapelboro.com. State-level news, the North Carolina Supreme Court will convene before the midterm election to hear a case challenging the state's new voter ID constitutional amendment. Justices voted 4-3 along party lines to hear the case next month. Plaintiffs want the court to rule that Republican lawmakers did not have the authority to propose state constitutional amendments because they were elected out of unconstitutionally gerrymandered districts. Democrats want the court to hear the case before the midterm because Republicans have a chance to retake a majority on the court in November. Back locally, Orange County commissioners meet tonight at 7 in the Witted Building in Hillsboro. Commissioners will hear a presentation on property tax assessments from the UNC School of Government. They'll receive a report from a work group on school capital needs, and they'll discuss appointments to various county boards and commissions. Get a link to the full agenda on our website, chapelboro.com. That's tonight. Commissioners met recently at their most recent meeting and charted a course for the county's new Opioid Advisory Committee, which will decide what to do with Orange County's portion of a massive nationwide opioid settlement to tackle an issue that kills 8 North Carolinians every day. 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell has more.
For North Carolina, $750 million of settlement funds will be split across the 100 counties. Orange County will receive nearly $6.8 million over the course of 18 years. To help the local governments decide what to do with their respective opioid advisory committees, the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners laid out some requirements to consider. Among those are for counties to choose between two different approaches for their funds. Option A dictates categories of spending the settlement money must be used for, while Option B includes a more robust strategic planning portion around treatment, prevention, and other strategies addressing the opioid crisis. Orange County Health Director Quintana Stewart presented to the county commissioners at the September 6th meeting to provide details and guidance. Stewart said the direction many Triangle area governments are going with their committees are different than what they discussed at a gathering 6 months ago.
And so at that time in March, I would say for our region, every county thought, oh, we're going to do option B. That just felt intuitive to how we do our work. We always collaborate, meet, and talk, and I would say to date, I only know one county that is still looking at option B as a choice.
The Orange County commissioners largely agreed, citing option A's ability to use the funds faster, build upon some already existing programs, and still do strategic planning through its Opioid Advisory Committee. Commissioner Jean Hamilton said she believes that is a benefit, considering how much Orange County is ultimately receiving from the settlement.
It's not that much money, let's be honest. You know, over 18 years? So it seems like we need to know who in our community is at risk for overdose. And so what we choose as a strategy should depend on what's going to have the greatest impact, given the limited dollars. That's going to be the hard work, that we have plenty of latitude, but we need to be careful. And then, of course, always track to see if we're getting the results that we are expecting from the investment.
The Board of County Commissioners unanimously agreed on option A, as well as establishing the Opioid Advisory Committee's charge with an emphasis on overdose prevention. The next step will be building out this committee of community stakeholders, with a list suggested to the elected officials at the same meeting. Since the committee will examine any gaps in the county's current resources and brainstorm additional responses to the opioid crisis, there is a variety of seats available. Still, the board settled on expanding the 17 suggested seats by county staff to include two additional flex seats. Commissioner Jamesetta Bedford said she disagreed with four of the seats being dedicated to the Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsborough Police Departments, as well as the Orange County Sheriff's Office. She said she'd prefer for those spots to go to other professionals with different perspectives, and that law enforcement could be integrated a different way.
I think the group should be taking a more medical and social approach and normalizing this more as a social medical concern. In that way, the group could certainly have a session where they invite all the law enforcement, get their input, and include them and address them, and of course at their public meetings, so everyone's welcome.
Commissioner Earl McKee rebutted the exclusion of one law enforcement agency over another, saying he believes each department can share perspectives and strategies from within their own jurisdictions. McKee also added that in addition to being first responders to many opioid overdoses, the local police approach is much different than others in the U.S.
Given the fact that this board and the town boards in Orange County made a concerted effort to, I guess you would say, impose our will that we refocus from punishment to prevention, I think our law enforcement are well aware that there has to be a new strategy. There has to be a focus on trying to address root causes.
Orange County said its staff will aim to collect applications with the goal of making appointments to the Opioid Advisory Committee by November 15th. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Time is 6:15. It is time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Chapel Hill Tire. It's been a difficult road, but UNC football is 3-0 after their first three games of the season following Saturday's win at Georgia State. UNC's offense put up 35 points, but quarterback Drake May threw his first interception of the season and failed to throw for a TD in the second half. Here's head coach Mac Brown talking about May.
Drake competes, but he never changes his personality. He's just like this all the time. And the kids know he competes so hard. That's his leadership. Sam had some of that. Drake probably talks more than Sam, but I'm sure, I think he was 19 out of 24 and two touchdowns, but he still won't feel like that's what he needed to do today. He is really, really hard on himself. So he'll take this one and he'll feel like that it'll let him grow for next two weeks from now, but he won't feel good about it.
That's Matt Brown there. May struggled a bit, but two Tar Heels earned individual honors after the game. Junior Cedric Gray was named ACC Linebacker of the Week after setting a new personal best with 14 tackles, including two for a loss. And running back Omarion Hampton won ACC Rookie of the Week honors after rushing for a career-high 110 yards and two TDs. UNC is back in action not this Saturday, but next Saturday, the 24th, hosting Notre Dame. Game time has been set for 3:30. Gray and Hampton were not the only Tar Heels to win honors this week. Volleyball star Maddie May was named ACC Co-Freshman of the Week after recording 50 combined digs in three matches. Over to men's basketball, where FanDuel is reporting UNC will play in the 2024 Maui Invitational Tournament, along with UConn, Michigan State, Memphis, Iowa State, Colorado, Dayton, and one more team yet to be named. If the rumor's true, it'll be Carolina's first trip to Maui since 2016. They played the Maui Invitational in 2020, but it was relocated to Asheville. because of the pandemic. Other good news for the team, multiple outlets reporting freshman center Jalen Washington is set to be cleared for all basketball activities by the end of this month. Plenty of time for him to be on the roster for opening day. Washington has been recovering from a torn ACL. In baseball, UNC head coach Scott Forbes has announced Carolina's signing class for the coming season. 19 players, including three state high school players of the year, last year's Ivy League pitcher of the year transferring in, and a second-team All-American. Fall practice runs through mid-October. Some former Tar Heel baseball stars reached major achievements in the pros this week, too. Catcher Jacob Stallings broke Johnny Bench's all-time record for most consecutive games without a passed ball. And pitcher Zach Gallen threw 44 consecutive scoreless innings over a period of more than a month. That's the seventh longest streak in Major League history. One UNC game in action tonight, UNC men's soccer hosting East Tennessee State at 7 p.m. They're looking to bounce back from a loss to Pitt on Friday. And in baseball, the Durham Bulls are back on the road this week at Gwinnett, starting tonight at 7.